Good evening, and welcome to NewsWrap Pro Biz News. Today is Monday, October 21, and I'm your host, Patrick Kidd. In today's NewsWrap, retired Colonel Chris Wyatt on Elon Musk, Donald Trump, and US politics, Dr. Franz Krinia on South Africa's shifting geopolitical alignment, Michael Yordan on growing South Africa's economy, and Neil De Beer on Pala Pala. Starting off today's show, BizNews journalist Chris Stain spoke to retired Colonel Chris Wyatt on politics in the US. Wyatt commented on Elon Musk, his relationship with Donald Trump, and the Republican campaign. You can find the full interview on BizNews.
Here's the thing about Elon Musk. I'm one of those people that is impressed and respect his entrepreneurial skills, his drive, his ambition. I mean, the guy has stated goals and he set out to achieve them. He's achieving remarkable things. An incredibly fascinating guy and also very fertile, apparently. He's got kids all over the place. But anyway, a whole other story. But he's a fascinating guy. But I never trust Elon Musk fully. And I don't trust any entrepreneurs like this fully because every entrepreneur has got a wackadoodle side about them. And I mean, I saw him on a broadcast where he was talking about, you know, smoking marijuana and kids were listening. I'm like, that's not good judgment. And, you know, there's some things that he says and does that he talks about Twitter being a free speech platform. It's not. It's still regulated in ways that don't make it a free speech platform. But it's much better than it once was. And, you know, now everybody can call everybody names, not just conservatives being attacked. But the support for Trump, I'm not surprised. Because Elon Musk was the darling of the political left. As long as he had his headquarters in California, he did what he was told to do, and he just behaved. But the moment he started pushing back against the censorship regime that's been going on, suddenly his company's under attack, he's evil, this, that, and the other. The thing about Elon Musk is that he's a fascinating guy, but he's right about a lot of things, you know? And I think that the backing for Trump is not a surprise. Some other very wealthy people backing Trump, Sheldon Adelson's wife, widow, the owner of the casino system out there in Nevada. It's also, I think she's put $95 million in the campaign. But the real backing here is the oligarchs, the big dogs. You guys in South Africa, Bell Pottinger might call the white monopoly capital, that sort of crowd. You know, they're not really white monopoly capital, but you get my point, the big corporate interests in America. All the money for those guys goes to the Democrats, Wall Street, the big corporations. And why is that? Big corporations love regulation. They can afford to spend $5 million on auditors and accountants. It's the small businesses trying to come up and compete with them with new ideas, better productivity, and more efficient service and better products. And they don't like competition. And that's the case in South Africa. That's the case in Europe. That's the case in America. So the big guys don't like that. They like the party in power that likes to create rules and slow down progress. And Elon Musk is all about getting rid of red tape and all about, you know, making it laissez-faire as best as possible and small government. And in that vein, he and I agree 100%.
In other news, BizNews editor Alec Hogg sat down with the Social Research Foundation's Franz Krinia. Dr. Krinia unpacked some interesting data surrounding South Africa's geopolitical allegiances. You can find the full interview on BizNews.
So, where do South Africans stand on this? Over time, we see what we think is a drift in South African public opinion away from an allegiance with the Western world towards a growing empathy for Russia and China, for example. So here's a question. We've just asked. The GNU should align South Africa's foreign policy with countries like Russia and China and Iran and against the West. And the answers there were that let me work it out. Just under 40% of South Africans now agree that that is what the South African government should do. Disagreeing is just over 50%. So this is almost evenly split. Then we asked another question, which was, we'd made a statement. Statement is false, but politicians all make false statements. So we said, given that Russia and China provide more investment, do you agree that Russia and China now provide more investment and create more jobs in South Africa than do the US and the European Union? Is this correct? And here, a very important thing happens, because now just short of 60% of voters say that they agree with that statement. As the South African government is increasingly emboldened we now get the stunning result where an absolute majority of South Africans believe, if they would believe, if they were told that Russia and China is now more important to the economy and the lives of people than is the West. That is a real failure of Western diplomacy.
Bronwyn Nielsen interviewed Montegrade Capital CEO Michael Yordan last week Friday. Yordan is one of South Africa's top thought leaders, and he shared his insights on what it will take for the newly formed Government of National Unity to grow SA's economy. The full interview is on biznews.com.
Let's talk a bit about how you're looking at the landscape. One thing we know for sure is that it is very complex and that there are multiple challenges, but also numerous opportunities that are unfolding all the time. So for you at the moment, Michael, what is absolutely the most important thing?
Well, we're all South Africans, right? And we're proud to be South Africans. And it's great that when we will win the World Cup in rugby. But unfortunately, the challenges we face as South Africans are far more severe than that. It's unemployment and poverty. There's a lot of violence and security. And to fix all of those things, we've got to grow. So I'd say the most important thing for South Africa is to make the right decisions, maybe sometimes tough decisions, but we've got to get this economy to grow so that we can create unemployment and reduce all these societal tensions that we have.
And that's a key theme that really is emanating in so many boardrooms at the moment, the theme around creating jobs. We're not moving that needle. And we hear about all the work that the private and public sector are galvanizing and starting to do together, but it's not translating into jobs. Michael, just again, you know, with a bird's eye view, what are we getting wrong?
Well, growth is a choice. Growth isn't just something that magically happens. Companies don't just grow. If you don't take tough decisions as executive and you place bets on the table and you make trade-offs, then you grow. Now, I say it's a choice, but it's also not a secret. Is if you look at the countries in the world that are doing well, they are following clearly available guidelines on what you need to do to grow. These are things like having respect for property rights, having institutions that work really well, investing in growth-enabling initiatives like education. So we actually know what we've got to do. It's just a question of, you know, really making sure that we do those right things. Now, I have to tell you, though, Bronwyn, that I have become far more positive about the next decade than the past decade. And I do think generally we can be a little bit tough on ourselves. I'd like to think that it's perfectly possible and feasible that South Africa will grow at about 2.9% for the next decade. Now, if we do that, it's still not enough. It needs to be 4 or 5 or 6% to make big dents in unemployment, but it'll be significantly better than in the last decade, and we will be creating some jobs at least.
In closing off today's news wrap, Chris Steyn's weekly Sunday show with Neil De Beer is a BizNews Tribe favorite. Ever earnest, De Beer shed light on the latest developments regarding President Cyril Ramaphosa's Pala Pala scandal. You can find the full interview on biznews.com.
Meanwhile, there's been an investigation into a second break-in at President Cyril Ramaphosa's Pala Pala farmhouse mere months after millions were stolen there. Do you think it's going to be another of those investigations that remain an investigation?
Well, Chris, it's an absolute thriller of a story, and it is starting to sound like a trilogy of Lord in the Rings. Dark versus light, ponder versus none. It is ridiculous when you start like I did reading the dockets this week. And the reason I refocused myself is because of the massive so-called stand-up in Parliament of people now saying there should be a public prosecution of the president. MK Party, Judge Lope directly, or ex-judge, getting up and saying to the president, you should be prosecuted. And Cyril turning around and saying, well, now it is in the round of another litigation. Chris, this news story broke, not because of the people on Pala Pala. In actual fact, when the thing occurred, only 2 years after, but only because Mr. Fraser, Arthur Fraser, ex-person of the Secret Service, brought it up to the light that such a theft of $580,000 occurred. Now, Chris, it seems that's not the right amount That is just the amount that was so-called stolen. Because the accusation was that he had 4 million US in his house and the thieves only stole $580,000. That was February 2020. And the only reason that came out was because an outsider spilled the beans. Now we hear in the next investigation that in actual fact on the 7th of June of the same year, 2020, there was in actual fact a secondary burglary, but now under declaration, nothing was stolen. Funny enough, the person that got robbed, stolen from, Honorable Cyril Matamala Ramaphosa, denied that such things ever occurred pre the docket being opened. He now again denies that anybody broke into his house. And in the same time, I think you will remember, he answered in Parliament, Chris, on a question, he said, no, but he admits. And it was for the sale of buffaloes. And then they turned around and said, but wait, Mr. President, according to the president's code, you are not allowed to do business while you're a sitting president. But he admitted it. And then we've got this absolute crazy situation where the National Prosecuting Authority, Chris, after all of these things about buffaloes and mattresses and dollars, comes out. Now they say that they cannot see that any prosecution on this matter will bear success. Are we in La La Land? The greater good.
You can catch new episodes of NewsWrap Mondays through Thursdays on Business TV, Business Radio, and Business.com. And don't forget to join Alec Hogg live at 7 a.m. tomorrow morning for the Business Briefing podcast. The Business Briefing is streamed live at 7 a.m. on weekdays and can be found on the Business.com homepage. This has been NewsWrap. I'm Patrick Kidd from Business.com.